We are recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woi-wurrung people, and we acknowledge them as traditional owners. We'd also like to pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Midnight to midnight. Welcome. Screening. Welcome to midnight screening. Welcome to screening. Welcome to midnight screening. I am screaming. I am screaming.
I am screaming.
Welcome to Midnight Screening, where we let you stay up past your bedtime with the movies you probably shouldn't be watching. I'm Noah. I'm here with Eliza and I'm here with Brandon and Liz, can I ask you something?
Yeah. What's going on?
Don't you just feel like there's something like missing kind of from our lives now, you know what I mean?
I hate doing this podcast with you, man.
Oh, it's just like, it's just day in and day out, and it's like a fucking rat race. I just get up, I put on my boots, and I'm just like...
Podcasting boots.
Yeah, I just go out in that big, big old world.
Doesn't
it
feel like it used
me
to.
Around. I just feel like... I feel like there's a missing, like, element of the... of my life that used to be there. I feel like I came from... like, I was one part of a whole, you know what I mean? And I'm missing my other part.
I don't know what that's like.
You know what I mean? I feel like I need another little me, mildly smaller, also small ears. And I think I regret removing them from existence when I butterfly affected them. So just so people can remember, early on in the show, we used to have a podcast called Twin Picks with... Big plot twist. Guess what? We used to have another sister. I used to be one from a twin, and I went back in time and strangled her in utero with our own umbilical cord.
What was that? Did someone just say so fucked up?
Wait, I can feel a presence in the room. If you're there, say something cool.
I'm back.
I couldn't think of something cool to say.
I'm back.
You guys gave me no heads up, which is really fucked up.
I did say, I was like, I know how I'm bringing Meg back in, but it's really just me being like, I wonder who's in the room with us.
Who's here? It's me. Meg. I'm back.
Hi, Meg. Meg, everyone's going to be listening. Like, this is like the event of the year.
Sure. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Yes, it's true.
I've been
back
busy.
On mic.
How
this
did
is
you
like
feel
the
about...
Beyonce, like when Beyonce was pregnant, like the reveal moment.
Yeah,
you know what
it's
mean?
Like the
it's
love
a drop.
On top, like the mic drop.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
that's what I'm doing right now.
Moment.
I'm rubbing my belly. There's no baby in there.
Pregnant with
perfect.
A good podcast episode.
I'm pregnant with filmic ideas. So much
how
to
did you
say.
Feel when Noah deleted you from existence?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It felt Mom's good tummy. To not exist for a little while, to be honest. No,
yeah, what's waiting for us? What was it like over there?
I'm loving listening to the podcast, and I knew nothing about what you were going to do to me before I went in. So I like went into the first episode being like, yeah, I'm so excited. Like midnight screening, this new iteration of this concept that we worked on together. And then you guys killed me and I was like, wow, like I can't believe they killed me. I guess I'll keep listening. And the really hard point was when I was like, do I subscribe to the Patreon even though they killed me?
No.
We did say to each other like.
I did subscribe. How and you all should too. But,
we,
yeah.
It's very sweet.
That's to your listeners.
We did say, how do we prep? How do we, like, respectfully be like, Meg is still be part of the show, we'll be in lots as, like, our favourite guest and stuff, but still,
I mean,
like,
I don't think Meg is really
you know.
A guest.
And then, in that first episode, we were so mean. We were brutal.
No, I liked it. I liked it. I liked
we
the energy.
Cutting.
I want to be, like, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think I you're, like, really a guest, special guest.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just...
What title would you like? Like, Lord Chancellor of the podcast or something? What sounds
yeah,
good?
I like that, Lord Chancellor.
You're the triplet in the attic now, kind of.
I am the triplet, and you've let me free.
And for your grand return to not only the podcast but also existence, you've picked two banger movies for us for our Twin Picks episode, just like we used to do. please inform the nice people what films we're talking about and what their tenuous connection is.
So, I can't believe I actually came up with this one from my own so brain. Good.
Loved
I was, like,
them, dude.
Shocked. I, like, kind of pitched you guys.
You did.
I was surprised. I just needed, like, a microphone in front of my face again. So, I was like, come up with a concept.
I'm ready.
Yeah. But the films we are doing are Suspiria, whoop, which whoop. Is, like, the 2018 version of it, the remake sort of companion piece to the original. Mm. And we are talking about that in comparison / conjunction with Climax.
Both 2018 as well.
Oh, 2018 as well. I actually
how crazy is that?
Clock that.
Yeah. Incredible.
But yeah, little French freaky movie. And I guess the the little tenuous connection would be like sort of dance macabre, spooky thriller, semi-body horror, but also like, I don't know, European freakiness, kinkiness.
And very true that they're both films that you're like, well, I guess Suspiria would more outwardly be horror, but they're both films that you're like,
Climax
the main
is classed
thing
as a
you come
film,
out
yeah,
of it. Yeah, exactly. Climax is classed as a horror film, but largely you're not like thinking about that the whole time. They like
yeah,
exist
you're
as their own
other,
thing.
Like, it's like, really heavy on the drama. I'd also say it really pushes like the queer cinema thing.
Yeah.
With heavy emphasis on the lesbianism,
yep.
Which is kind of cool. Like, it makes it really, I don't know. Yeah, very dramatic
what it's
and
talking
thrilling.
About. And then also they're just terrifying. Yeah.
And they are freaking, yeah.
Both
really
genuinely scary movies.
Tell you what was not the right setting to be watching Climax, rewatching it on the weekend was when I was moving house. And I was like, oh, I'm going to put
like,
it on.
Let's put it on the background.
In the background. First of all, it's French, so I needed to read the subtitles. I had way too much faith in my French skills, which I gave up in year 12, and which my French teachers wanted me to give up way sooner.
Can you hear any of the, like, do you ever know what they're saying?
They would be like, alors, or like they'd say something and I'd be like, oh, that one. I got it. I worked it out.
I know.
Or they'd like count and I'd be like, ah, yes. Trois.
My old friend, trois.
After watching Climax, I definitely know the French word, Tito.
Tito.
That's not even a word. That's
like
a noun.
Well, if it was Australian, it would be Tito. So, no.
Tito.
I know French.
Fuck, Tito's been fried. No, you know what the best one was?
We fried Tito.
The character, the DJ character. I mean, we'll get into it. He's called Daddy. And they go, Daddy. Oh no, daddy.
Yeah, they do.
I love great that picks. You chose dance movies because yeah. dance has been a love-hate relationship for the twins of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I don't know if the listeners know this about us, but like when we were growing up, I was like very into.
You're an amazing dancer.
No, I was not that good.
Yes,
I had like
you're awesome.
I mean,
you're
I
so
think,
good.
I think everyone who like dances outside of school, like as an extracurricular activity, thinks they're gonna be like a dancer, and then they go to like one competition and see there are actually people who are very, very good. You're like, oh, I guess that's not what I'm going to do in my life.
But you were notably like very, very good. You just made
the very. I
don't
think I was that good. I think I just did it often. Like I went to a lot of classes, but I don't think I was that good. But I was very invested in it.
Yeah.
And then that was sort of around the time that Noah was getting really interested in musical theatre.
Knock, knock, knock.
And performing. So he crawled on over to our dance school. And I mean, I'm sure many people know a boy at a dance school is like
Christ incarnate.
It's like, wow, he is risen. Like,
it's
people,
just like wearing flashing sirens all over your body.
So
all
he's
the time.
Like front and center in every single number.
Yeah.
Not to mention that, like, all of my friends had crushes on him, so that was not very convenient. Thanks, friends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. And then, eventually, I gave it all up. Noah.
And then I did
spotlight.
Music theatre, and now I'm like, you know what I hate? Musicals.
Hate
that suck. Yeah, no. I definitely do see that as the backdrop of our childhood. Do you think, in Climax, if we had as our old dance group.
Oh my God.
Gotten
drugs.
The sangria spiked.
Well, who would have
the
spiked
what?
The sangria?
Oh.
I guess,
we can't name names. Wait, no. Meg and I are going to mouth it to each other,
right,
who
we'll
we think
see.
It
wait.
Is. Wait, take a sec. Oh,
think.
I so know.
Wait, you know?
Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. No, Noah was really right.
Yeah, I know.
The person that then, Noah said would definitely do that.
I hope none of these people listen, because then they will. Well, if you're listening and you used to go to
well, then
I could school,
be able to hear you
best.
Sounding
cool.
out their name.
But if they're a really anxious person, they might project that it's them. Don't worry. Whoever it is that's listening,
it's not
you.
It's not
you. It's one of them.
But how would it have turned out? Where would you guys have been?
We're about to talk about how Climax is about the strong will survive, like only the strongest survive.
You go to Dreamworld to perform a
Dreamworld
Imagine Dragons.
Just for like some background. Rihanna song. We used to, you know, when you go to like a shopping center or you'd go to like a theme park and there'd just be like this random dance troupe performing. That was Noah and I. Like, that was us. We were the ones at Brandon Park Shopping Center. Like, singing and dancing in front of the camera.
I felt like we were training for the Olympics.
It was, like, it
You're
was
like, oh,
very
I've got a
demanding.
Show this weekend. The show being...
Mum has to drive me to a gig at Brandon Park Shopping Centre.
Victoria Gardens,
and
outside the reject shop.
The mortifying experience was when people, like, your age group would walk past and you'd be, like, see it before me, you'd be like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. It's so embarrassing.
And once a year, we would go... to Dreamworld, and it would actually be the best because in the morning you would perform as people entered the park and you would just watch the faces of people be like, okay, and then like walk away immediately and go on rides. And then after you performed for like 30 minutes, you would spend the whole day at Dreamworld, which was the best.
So you go, I've been on every single ride at Dreamworld at least twice because I went a couple years. Like I went, I think, 30 times or maybe twice. But yeah, that was a fun experience. But I can't believe our parents were just like, like we'll drive you to all of these.
All of our friends. I definitely learned about a lot of things in life on those trips, though. Like they were kind of traumatizing at points.
Traumatizing?
Kind of spooky. Yeah. Oh my god. Absolutely.
So I guess you could say it was like
it was already
its
like
own
Climax.
Version of Climax.
We were tripping. It was just on the existential realities of life our ego.
Noah was definitely tripping on his own ego.
Oh, totally.
I was
day
a
and night.
Baby at Dreamworld.
Singing "Just Haven't Met You Yet" for those those people every morning.
Yeah, everyone went crazy. That was like such a good number.
That's so funny.
That's a respect on
that
the
was.
Stage.
Those, but that's the thing. You guys would do these incredible dance numbers, and we,
the boys would click,
would have a mic stand and click,
and then lean the mic stand to one side,
and then you'd lean it to the other side.
And that was when I kissed her.
Oh, that was a good one too, actually.
Meg, on three, say the worst song that we ever did in performance group, and we will say the same one.
You have way too much faith in my memory. I have really bad memory.
No, but trust you're going to...
The worst one we've ever done.
And we both did it, I think. Yeah. Three, two...
I don't know.
Say Geronimo.
Oh.
Yeah,
it was Say Geronimo.
Say
Geronimo. I wasn't in that one, I don't think.
Say Geronimo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Brandon. Say it, yeah.
Brandon, you would have rocked out at the boys' performance group. You would have done really well.
I just would have really wanted to go to Dreamworld every fucking time.
It was great.
The Dreamworld was like a leash. That was. Yeah.
But if we were tripping as a group, I think...
And also, like, we're underage.
I just think all the boys would have run away and been, like,
yeah,
in a
I feel
corner.
Like if
you all had a lot more resolve and strength than us.
I would probably be someone, like, I'm just trying to be honest. I probably would, like, in the context of Climax, I would be one of the people being like, kill yourself.
Yeah, you know? I love that. Oh my god, bitch. That's so awesome.
But like, you know, get caught up and be like, do it. Do
the
it.
Hive mentality
of it.
I would
be like the ringleader, but I would definitely... That's like the Stanford Prison Experiment. People are like, I wouldn't fall for it. I'm like, yes, I would fall
love,
for
I
it.
I love being like, I wouldn't be the main guy, but I would totally be like, wow, the community we've built being mean to people is great. Yeah.
And I'm like, who am I to like... You know, trying to be a hero.
Meg, for you, like, so sincerely from the bottom of my heart, not only do I think that's exactly how it would have gone, but I want this for you, that it's that and it's you doing it to me. That's what it would have been.
Oh my god.
Yeah, maybe
you would have
is...
tried to kill me back then if you were tripping.
There were definitely times that I did try and kill
Meg me. Meg tried to drown me in the pool multiple times.
But that's not in this context, that's a different time.
We used to play a game in the pool. The pool had like a pull-out cover thing that went over
the
pool.
Oh, that was so fun.
And we would run over the top. And one time we were like, can you swim underneath, like all the way to the other side and back before coming up for breath?
Yeah.
And what? And it's the kind of thing where, like, I was so upset. Like, I think you're so cool that I was like, I know Meg's going to try and kill me when I come back. Where I would swim to the other side. And as I came back, I'm like, I know you're going to stop me from coming up for breath.
I did do that.
You really conditioned me for the difficulties of life.
I like to watch
you like,
squirrel.
Coming back from your first ever lesson of Taekwondo, and at the dojo, they say Taekwondo isn't to be used for good. Do not use it in the playground. Do not use it at home. And literally, as soon as you walk through the door, you're like, hi-ya!
No, it's, again, the comic timing of Meg's cruelty, because it was Dad, I kid you not. The sentence is exactly like Dad is being like, and don't worry, everyone, Meg knows that these skills are only to be used. Hi-ya! Like, on my nose. So funny.
I don't know why I did have a really... I mean, I still do. Sometimes I just want to, like, bite something.
This is actually just an intervention that we brought you in for.
Oh.
Yeah, this isn't going out anywhere. I was
working on studying quietly in my room, and you came in and slapped my forehead. I jerked back, you slapped the back of my head, and then I ricocheted back into your bleeding other hand. I was going to say,
that's the best one.
It was so funny.
In my mind, that one was my best. Like,
I think we're actually both really laughing. Like, it was so stupid.
It was so funny because she ricocheted back into my head.
It's great when they do the work for you, yeah. Eliza has one where she slapped me on the stomach.
Yeah. She lifted both hands up in the air like a Mexican wave and then just slammed them down on Noah's stomach.
I don't know what
she
came over
me. She never does stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. So funny.
It was very mint-coated.
And it was mint-coated.
You looked like the wavy things outside the car dealerships, but like when it came down, it just like whacked me.
I guess all I'm trying to say is like, I don't think I have an urge to kill anyone anymore, and I don't think I could have killed anyone back then. But I definitely did have an urge back then, so it's probably like a good timing situation.
This is one of the best qualities you got. It's awesome. Don't lose it. It's great. Yeah, absolutely. Well, just like that thing that like
I'm a fighter.
That punch. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's a trait to have. And
so I hope I would survive.
Very applicable to Climax for real.
Mm. Yeah,
very much.
And sort of Suspiria, although there's not really so much like. Fighting back. It's more like falling
it's
into
magic.
The web.
It's like, what are you going to do?
The magic of theatre.
Yeah. This has been fun, I guess. Do we talk about the films?
Yeah, what do we want to start with? Do you want to pick me?
Because they both came out in 2018. What do you feel like, boss?
I probably want to start with Suspiria.
Okay.
Yeah, is that okay? For no reason at all.
Let's do it.
Gosh, I love movies.
Suspiria is a 2018 supernatural horror film. It's directed by Luca Guadagnino, who has had a huge few years, is on a great hot streak, especially, off the back of we talked about Challengers the other week, another great film that's probably still in cinemas at the time this comes out, which you should go see. Suspiria is about an American woman who enrolls at a prestigious dance academy in Berlin, that is run by a coven of witches. And it's a... Yeah, you couldn't really say... What I kind of want to start off with is you couldn't really say it's a remake. It's actually kind of the... Exactly what a remake or a restaging should be, which is it takes the original 1977 Suspiria made by Dario Argento, who we will definitely do on the show at some point. And it essentially follows... the exact opposite impulse of all the impulses that that film has to, I think, great results. It was so awesome to watch this again. It was such a good pick. And Meg, I wanted to kick things off by asking how you think, like, have you seen the original Suspiria, but also, like, do you enjoy this idea of doing, a remake or almost, like, you use the same central ideas and maybe, like, the name and characters, but you use it to go, like, a completely new, almost like a reimagining of that, those ideas. Like, is that impulse a cool one to you?
It is, definitely, and it's probably my preference over, like, something that is very close to the original or, like, just doesn't back itself enough to detract. Because, like, the spirit and the vibe is... not dissimilar. And it pays, like, you know, homage to, like, so much of what the original does, but, like, you can't really do, like, Argento, like, you can't. And I don't know, I also just think, like, this companion piece or remake or whatever you want to call it, like, there are moments that were definitely less enjoyable to me on the rewatch, especially because, like, it's much less, like, you can watch it so many times and walk away not knowing what's going on. And especially when it feels like there are moments that want to be quite plot-driven and there are moments that just, like, don't lead anywhere.
This is so interesting because one of the main ones I felt like we'd be talking about with this is it being something that I initially thought my critique of it was going to be that it is too much, it's too linear or like clear what it's about. But I found like, especially by its incredible climax, its incredible third act, it's so incredibly like open as to how you want to leave with how you feel about it. Do you think, guys, like you would prefer it? Did you feel like it was quite spelt out what it was speaking to?
Like a witch.
Or do you feel like it was super open-ended in a way you liked?
More than the Argento movie, it mimicked the form of dance to me.
Yeah.
Where it's like you felt the direction of the movie, and particularly that ending, which is like the only bit that looks like the Argento one. Like there's the colours of the movie are so completely different. There's
it's no like brown. And
it's all these like rich...
The aesthetic impulse is one of the weirder combos of, like, what else would you say is this very, like, brutalist German thing? Like, that style that, you know, now... Mm. What is another big movie doing? Like, the Dune architecture in Dune kind of... Yeah, a lot of Denis Villeneuve stuff does that sort of, like, stark lines, concrete, those things. And then this very... like, wistful, dreamy Italian horror feel. Like, those two things haven't really, like... Like, the way they coexist in this is what really surprised. Because I just remembered that sort of brutalist architecture feel. And the way that the...
And like, also through the dance, like, they have moments of real fluidity and things. But that's more... comes out in, like... Well, like, in terms of the choreography that, you know, occurs in the movie, they'll have this dancing that's quite, like, rigid at times. And, like, sort of this... Especially Dakota Johnson's, like, audition-y piece.
Yeah.
But then when there's, like, the scene... where she's, like, moving around the room and, like, melting and her face is all... And
that's I
love that part. I think that was, like, a sneak peek or trailer or something. That was, like, the first imagery the I ever saw, at least for me. And I remember being like, what the fuck is this?
Is this the first time you've rewatched it, you guys?
No, I've watched it 3 times, I think, now.
Damn! Because the first time we watched it, I feel it was all together.
Yeah,
it was together. I think it was.
Cute.
But, like, I... Sorry, what I was going to say was I think, like, that, that the... remake or the 2018 version, it does that contrast a lot better because, you know, it does take more license with, like, the horror elements of it and then it does get to this, like, final act that's so, like, abstract in a lot of ways and it does make you leave and sort of, like, like I was saying, I don't think you'd ever leave thinking you'd pin down what exactly had gone. And even though, like, you can read the synopsis and it sets out exactly what does happen in the movie, there's still so much, like, interpretation in these smaller moments and especially in that final act. So I think it's it doesn't make it any less enjoyable. It probably just makes it less, like, predictable because there are times when I'm like, oh, I feel like this is where we're going. And then it's not where it goes.
I love Tilda Swinton in the movie is so hysterical.
Yeah.
Her three characters
are whack.
The teacher one is so... I mean, both teachers. Helena Marcos and Madame Blanc. I feel like it's sort of... I don't know. It sort of revealed something to me in the movie where she's talking about the future of dance.
Mm.
And she choreographed the main central piece of the movie that Dakota Johnson's dancer has to perform, Folk, in
1948.
Mm. And it's like... this is a dance school in Berlin. Like, shit, imagine trying to put your dance out there.
Yeah.
And she says, there's two things dance can never be again. Yeah. Beautiful and cheerful.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, in Dario Argento's one, like, they're dancing ballet and what looks like much more traditional pretty ballet or whatever. And in this, it's like their dance, it's just witchcraft. It's just, like, this intense carnal expression.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, totally.
I do enjoy that aspect of it too. I think, like, something I remember I didn't really understand it and I didn't really appreciate it as much the first time I watched it compared to this, especially most recent time. So, like Liza was saying, Tilda Swinton plays, like, these three characters and one of the characters she plays is, like, this, like, the therapist, like, doctor, whatever.
Yeah.
And they are so committed to the bit that they never, like, in the credits,
she's credited as Lutz.
Yeah, she's credited as this other person. And I think, like, the screenwriter and stuff did, like, press afterwards being like, no, like, that's just, like, this random German guy. He actually used to be a psychotherapist or something. And then he really got into acting. Like, they were just really committed to the bit.
Mm.
But the prosthesis and everything, like, it's clearly not a real person. Like, it's got this weird sort of waxy
it's
face.
Good, though.
It's the first time I watched it, I knew that I was, like, there was something weird about that guy. But I didn't know it was Tilda Swinton.
Really? I didn't think it was Tilda Swinton, but I wasn't like, oh, that's a real guy and that's his real skin.
I agree. I was like, there's a weird texture.
Waxy quality.
And that's what I say watching every movie. That's a real guy and that's his real skin.
But because of that, I'm like, so he's the bad guy. Like, clearly, this weird Dr. Man.
Oh, right.
But he has a funny position in the movie.
Yeah, and it's sort of like whack. Like, it's sort of kooky in a funny... He says things and it's, like, sort of earnest, but almost not. Like,
he's just, like, the ultimate victim. Like, he's, like, the women's punching bag.
He was the bigger key in to the whole film for me this time. For all the things that, firstly, like, rewatching it made me just, like, fall in love with it. I'd forgotten how, like, I liked it even more watching this time. It was great to rewatch.
Yeah.
And also that character represents, like... The only thing as like a minor sticking point that I probably think about, but even still, it brings home the landing, being that character, Josef Klemperer, the doctor, like he is not a subplot, but he is a beat that you come back to that feels less relevant than everything else until the end when he's the resolution.
He's the heart of the movie,
And the basis with which like it has this really... heartbreaking thing to say about like existing in denial and shame, like cultural shame, like thinking about our history as a descendants of Germans, like, you know, like the German family and things, and just like the nature of a country baked into existing in shame and not talking about things. But that by design that character is someone who like has existed for that beat at the end to really play, and for a lot of the rest of it, it doesn't land as much. But once it reveals its purpose, I think it's really beautiful. Like, I think that epilogue I really love. I think it's really beautiful. This idea of the new mother coming and saying, again, this idea of, like, the coven of witches that we usually imagine as, you know, I see a coven of witches as being, like, all-powerful, we've done this for millions of years, we always get it what we want, but, like, this is a film that really represents, like, just, like, a product of their country, this coven of witches is, like, a form of leadership. They have power struggles, they make choices that people don't agree with, and they are ruling, and it's expressed in their dance. Like, that's what's so interesting about...
And
this is a film about dance, about this form that's, like, dictated by, like, technique...
That is demanding.
Exactly what I was going to say. There's such a hierarchy in dance. I think it's a really good setting for that. Because there is that hierarchy. There's that inherent competition.
Who gets the protagonist? Who's in the background?
Yeah. Who draws our attention? Where's our focus? And also the fact that they're in this like troop. So it is sort of like we're all.
She says like we're like a family now.
Yeah, whatever. And it's
they eat these nice communal meals together.
Even just something about denial and shame, like being inherent as well to like artistry. Like I sensed a lot this time around like artistic shame. With, you know, like, so Chloe Grace Moretz plays a character who essentially was, like, who they were priming to be
like their... the star.
Their victim, their star, but...
Like, sacrifice almost.
Yeah, exactly. Their sacrifice and possibly the new, like, mother or the new... Yeah,
like, the vessel.
The main vessel.
Yeah.
For the ugly
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Helena Marcos.
And...
Because it's like they have this, like, young sacrificial vessel for the spirit of the, like... I don't know.
Of these, like, sacred mothers to kind of use their bodies as their new vessels. And it's essentially painted that, like, Chloe Grace Moretz's connection to dance or artistry was too linked with her political values and beliefs.
Which is really interesting. There's this idea
of the art school, like, the dance school being, like, in service of... like us practicing what we do allows us to kind of lock the doors and close ourselves off from the outside world.
But she's saying it's the opposite. Like,
Exactly. Especially being like, well, you've also brought the outside world in here. Like this is how did we bunker down? You know, all that, like there's a lot of lines about like pretty incredible that Madame Blanc managed to keep this dance school full of women alive during the war. And you're like, well, the war kind of existed within your own structures and society.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie kind of wiped me out. I loved it.
I think the, like the socio-historical context also just makes it that much more tense and, like, uncomfortable. And I think,
yeah,
I don't know, there's something to be said. Like, of course, it's so fun watching, like, a, haunted mansion horror movie or like,
yeah, like
you know,
the secret doorways.
Secret door, or like, you know, you have these typical settings.
Hmm.
And I think like this took like some sort of tropey, like it's a little bit tropey to have like sort of like a boarding house and like lots of women in this one place and it's kind of creepy setting. But then to cast that against like this climate that's steeped in tension and everything, it just makes it that much better.
So true.
I guess I was sort of like a little bit, I mean, no, before I rewatched it, just for the purpose of this podcast, I kind of like was recalling like, oh, wait, what is it all that theme in the film about? Like, why does that come up and what's that about in the movie? And I was like, is that just like kind of a cheap
window
trick,
dressing,
like window dressing almost? But I didn't find that at all. I really enjoyed it on the rewatch. So I agree with that. And I also was very impressed by Chloe Grace Moretz's
German,
her performance. Like, I don't know why I find her face a little bit irritating, which I know is like a really bad thing to say, but I really enjoyed her in this
film.
What
about Dakota Johnson?
She I really liked Dakota. I was going to say, we were she not mean to her a few weeks ago, but obviously
that,
she wasn't great. Well, you defend,
I know.
She is perfect
in
for
this,
Madame
she
Webb.
She is literally mother. That's the reveal at the end of the movie. She's mothering
obviously, she's doing a very different thing to Tilda Swinton in this movie, who's giving, like, a star, chameleon, transformative performance. But Dakota Johnson, it is perfect casting.
Yeah.
And every impulse around that character is different than what we're conditioned for it to be in a horror film. Like, Final Girl is too reductive. I just mean, like, you meet your lead character who's supposed to be, like, innocent and, like, what am I falling into? But, like, what's so amazing about this performance is this idea of someone that at every step of the way is, like, I am going to follow. Like, it's great how Mia Goth is sort of revealed
as
your vehicle. Because then it makes Mia Goth not just, like, I'm the friend that exists to get fucked over. It's actually, like, no,
you're
Dakota
kind of
Johnson has scarily become driven into this world. Like, clearly she's on the train to the end.
Mm.
And Mia Goth is the person trying to have some sort of heart inside of it. You also made a point of, like, it as a remake that does... Like, I adore Argento and the first Suspiria is great. But this is a film that, like, takes all the tools on the table and goes, like, a horror film set at a dance school.
Mm.
The dance is our biggest weapon. A horror film with an American lead. What can we say about an English lead character and an English person existing in this foreign space? Like, it's so good.
It's amazing. And, like, dance is, like, freaky. Like, the things that... like, people can do with their bodies and everything. It can be, which is sort of why before, like, I mean, it's not necessarily, like, grotesque or body horror in the sense that we're, like, actually just sacrificing bodies, but that is kind of what they're doing in a lot of the dancing that they're doing, probably more so in Climax than in this.
Again, they're banger picks for exactly that. They're two different versions of how dance is this expressive thing that gives but also takes. Like,
it's kind of horrific. Like, it's quite, can be really, really grotesque.
Something I liked in Suspiria that I don't think we get in Climax is, like, it's taking place as the, like, Volk, the main piece of choreography, is just being re-performed. But I love the scene where Dakota Johnson kind of argues with Tilda Swinton about it and is talking about dance like it's, like, writing. And she's like, it makes more sense if we stay on the floor here. I want to be on the ground. And then later on, blah, blah, blah. It's more to the point. And I was like, I've never thought about how dancers would speak to choreographers. Mm. And, like,
that
it's really fun seeing them work at it.
That bit is so funny. Where she's being like, I think maybe in this bit I should be close to the floor, like, instead of going up into the air. And then there's 3 seconds of silence, and Tilda Swinton, as the teacher, is like, you don't know what we went through for 40 years. And it's so brutal, like, the thing you say to your kid to just shut them down and be like, oh, I guess I'm the worst mother in the world then.
I'll just go myself then. Yeah,
exactly. So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Stunning to look at.
What do you guys think of the Thom Yorke score?
Oh, yeah.
I think my feelings on it have changed a bit back and forth. I don't know.
I like the score more than the ones with words, the lyrics. I feel weirdly... literal based on who Thom Yorke is.
Yeah.
Like,
I totally agree.
Spells being cast.
That's exactly
like,
I didn't want lyrics in the big bloody climax where Dakota Johnson reveals herself as Mother Superiorum and all this crazy bloody head exploding stuff is happening. Yeah. For his lyrics to be like, I say the magic word. I was like,
we are doing witchcraft.
Yeah. Dakota Johnson one day plays Madame Web.
Yeah. Dad is Don Johnson.
But like the melodies are beautiful.
Yeah. For everyone listening at home, that little pop, that was Eliza's knuckle. Ah, talk about buddy horror.
Dakota Johnson is in another room doing like the hand jive. I'm like, ooh. Ouch, owie. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm a Radiohead fan, I guess.
Your brain is just bigger than most people.
I'm a bit of a weirdo. sorry, I hate that I said that. I mean, I regret saying that, but no, I do like Radiohead and I quite like Thom Yorke, but I'm not crazy about the score.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't mind the score. I don't really like the songs. Yeah. I feel like...
It just really sounds like Thom Yorke.
Yeah, I feel like he's like, oh, like, you just want me to be me? Okay, that's all I'll give you. It's nothing. Like, he's scored a lot of other films and...
I don't know. I can't think of him or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else he's scored.
Well, there's like definitely was surprised by it. Like, movie.
Yeah, the PTA thing. Yeah, we talked about that too.
Damn.
Oh. Yeah. I did like the music, but not his lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
Lyrical ones as well. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll come back to it when we break it down as well.
Yeah.
But shall we chat about Climax?
Woohoo.
Wee wee.
Blood pressure of 160 over 80. Heart rate of 88. Normal sinus at this time. Respiratory rate of 18.
Everything is going to be all right. Do not... need to look outside. Look out, look out, look out, look out, look out.
How do you say let's dance and die in French?
Oh my god, I can't believe you're going to do this to me. I actually have no idea.
Madame
Bouza. Let's dance.
Wait, I'm looking
on
it up.
Is let's go.
Dansons et marrons. I think that's what it is.
Why'd you sing it?
Because it's like let's dance. By David Bowie? No, it's fine. I'll just fuck off.
Let's dance. Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Climax is on SBS On Demand right now. You can watch it anytime you please. I found it hilarious when I started watching this movie. It comes up with a little, viewer warning, and it says this program includes content which may concern. It's like, yeah.
It does concern.
Yeah, that's concerned.
True. I'm really concerned.
I feel concerned. And the movie is a high concept, set over one night, dance thriller horror film about a troupe of dancers ready to go on a big tour. They're all from pretty diverse backgrounds. Their dance style is more like Vogue,
club,
hip hop, like dance rather than the abstract
contemporary
dance of Suspiria. And somebody spikes the sangria that they're drinking as their celebratory cocktail on this mad dancey night, and all hell literally breaks loose.
It's horrific.
It's horrific, and it's very Gaspar Noé. Mm. I thought maybe we could start by, are you guys familiar with his films beyond Climax? Mm-hmm. Are you a fan? Are you a hater?
I am not at all familiar.
Because you know some people hate this guy.
It's my favourite
of
his films.
Tell me, I don't know. I love gossip, so just tell me.
Well,
he made this film called Irreversible, and oh my god.
Irreversible. It has like one of the most infamous like graphic sexual assault scenes ever. He's done this thing of like the backwards credits in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
Into the Void, Love. His most recent one was Vortex, which was, I think he's getting more sensible and mature as he gets older.
Yeah.
And Climax was apparently cobbled together really quickly. It was shot over like, I think, 10 or 11 days.
Oh, wow.
And he said, a lot of people told him it's the best film he's ever done. And he was like, this sucks. Like, this is the one I put the least effort into.
Oh, wow.
That is the worst. I get worried about us sending these two little short films that, like, Liz and I made that we put together in, like, a day. I'm like, if they do better than the ones that you spend, like, a year
but
prepping for.
But I think that's how it always goes. Like,
when you're not thinking about it.
I'm going to bring it back to, like, the only thing I could talk about, but, like, uni. Yeah, I'm not a uni anymore, but when I was, I would always do very badly on assignments and, like, tests and things that I put a lot of effort into. Oh. And if I was just like, I don't care, I would always do really well.
So unfair.
I think that's how it goes. It's
okay, yeah. Gaspar. And I also think it channels his best impulses because, like, the thing that he would... I don't know. I think those films are great. Like, Irreversible does have a value, but he's definitely one of those, like, provocateur directors where sometimes you're like, the more that you are subconsciously trying to subvert, the more egregious this is. Whereas this is pure, channeled,
it has a
like,
bluntness
ensemble
really
energy.
It does. It has a bluntness that works in the film. Like, I think if it was a longer movie...
Yeah.
If it was... like if it, the concept was like a little bit more...
More overwrought or more written, like more over-devised.
Yeah,
like,
if it was much more devised, I don't think it would have been as enjoyable. I think it's like kind of gritty and messy and it works and it's much more exciting and it stands out a lot more because of it.
Yeah, to me, I think...
I don't know anything about this filmmaker, though. Guys, this is why I'm no longer on the podcast.
Do you want to know the tagline he had for Climax?
Yeah.
He said... So he's talking about his previous films. You despised I Stand Alone. Hated Irreversible. Execrated Into the Void. Cursed Love. Come celebrate Climax. It's like, yeah, it was really celebrated. People like this movie.
Is that so
It's great. It's, cool. It's pretty resoundingly loved, this film as well. Yeah. I think it's great. So the we'll get to the thing that's the more like... I don't know, my feelings on it have changed even since I last watched it. But the thing I most felt with this film, this, by the way, is like the closest Twin Peaks race I can remember, even from our last show. Like these movies,
not
both,
to spoil anything,
I was like,
but I'm having trouble.
Me too. I was like, I can't imagine that one, like anything beating Climax, and then watched Suspiria and I loved it.
Mm.
But Climax does probably capture the thing in dance that, as an idea, is most compelling to me because I think about it a lot, which is. This idea of the, like, analytical brain versus the, like, impulse of the body.
Lizard
like,
brain versus monkey brain.
The idea of, like, so, like, to personalize that momentarily, like, me and my partner both, like, the medium that we practice are on opposite sides of the spectrum, and we talk about it a lot. My partner, Darcy, is a dancer, and dancing is about in the moment you are doing it, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are... It exists when you start dancing, and when you stop dancing, it stopped. There is
She's
learning a dance.
She's talked about that in Suspiria as well.
Yeah, yeah, there is...
Like, language written in air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There is, like, learning a dance, of course, and, like, you know, the performance of the dance.
And film
but
changes things.
And film is constant, conscious grind... The tiniest little elements being put together piece by piece by piece.
Like, the idea is that it's permanent.
And then it lives forever.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas, like, dance burns
That's
fast and strong.
That's why dance movies slap so much.
Yeah.
And what's so cool about, like, they even do. The way that this film is built as a celebration of these artists, I just love the design of, like, there's a big stretch where we have these... I couldn't believe... A lot of the film was improvised. I did not know these dialogue scenes are all improvised with, like, prompts, really. Like, essentially, it's, like, a shot that will just sit with different combinations of two people at a party, and they will improvise as...
And they say some vile shit.
Really fucking horrific things are said in the conversations.
Intense, like, them just being, like, really misogynistic, mostly just intense, like, dudes just, like, insanely ragging
That's,
on
like,
about
the most horrible,
gonna,
but
like,
even,
attack
like...
attack and have sex with these... Like
the
women.
Whole way through, it's quite like, I don't know, you see these really sort of disgusting sides of people and then they all get to this really disgusting
but
place.
What makes it sad for me is it comes after an opening scene, which is so celebratory.
This is
everyone in unison doing this awesome dance.
This is the main thing I wanted
really
to talk
long
about.
Take of like a sick voguing routine where everyone gets their little... highlighted
moment.
And,
and
then from there they split off and our sort of main character is Sophia Boutella, who's the choreographer Selva, and it follows her primarily for maybe like the main 70% of the movie or whatever, and she's going around and being like, I love your attitude, oh you look so sexy, good job baby and stuff, and then Gaspar Noé has previously and continues to do this thing where, like, his camera sort of blinks, like it blinks in and out of scenes in this weird mechanical way, and it's showing them in their private conversations being so horrible to each other.
Yeah, and about each other, and they've got these interpersonal relationships, or they're, you know...
Yeah, who wants to get in whose pants, who's mad at whoever and wants to start
It's also, like, a really sexualized group of people, which is something that, I don't know, like, I think it's... done well because obviously these are people who are very in touch with their bodies, very, you know, into self-expression, the way that they dance and they move, it's like highly sexualized, quite provocative, and that makes it really interesting. But then that sort of extends out into their conversations and they're talking about, like, you know, all this sexual stuff and it just becomes like quite like vulgar. And it's sort of, like, quite, like, jarring because you've sort of admired them for this really provocative but cool and interesting dancing. Then they're having these really base conversations and you're like, ugh.
They seem, like, untouchable and godly when they're dancing.
Yeah,
we're
when
like,
they're dancing.
This is amazing. I could not do anything like this. Especially the shot. There's a shot after those interactions where it's, like, a bird's eye one And whenever they're spinning, like the way their hair turns, like so when beautiful. Seen from above, you're just like, oh my
That's
God,
my
they're
favorite.
Like beyond human.
A bit of dancing probably is that overhead of it's the dance so sick. Circle.
Yeah.
I think like the nature of those dialogue scenes shot so bluntly is just like the whole film to me of this idea of like your conscious, unsubstance abused brain allows you to like choose this version of yourself or like how you want to be seen or the ideas of who you tell
who
you yourself
think
you are.
Yeah.
And then the terror of what happens when you lose your mind and that the thing that was hard for me in watching it and afterwards, I still don't really know how I feel about it, I guess, is that thing of like, is it a film that, like, I was checking reviews and like quite widely at the time this came out, the criticism was this movie, like, as we were saying, is it like anti-diversity? Like it opens and it looks like it's celebrating this, but then it's all about the collapse of that thing. And Gaspar Noé says, I wanted to make a film about like the delicate, like making something beautiful and special and how delicate that is and how easy it is for that to topple.
Yeah.
And I am like, maybe it's our own very like precise human brain that wants to put a meaning on the idea that actually we've
of
just witnessed complicated people existing and then something that never in a million years would happen happens and you watch society fall. Like, I do just think it's about like a collapse of a community as opposed to being direct. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not like judgmental. It's like just sort of showcasing.
That I mean, it happens to them. It doesn't have a perspective on why the collapse happens outside of that it does. It's sort of just like a random group of community is abused.
The inhibitions that anyone would have just unleashed.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that because as a viewer, I don't... Like, there are people who I... Like, I...
David, the pervy white guy and then gets called a skinhead.
Yeah.
He's really atrocious.
Yeah.
Dom, who kicks a pregnant woman in the stomach. So that's again, like the most
if we're talking, visceral bit in the movie. If we're talking like, provocateur,
it's not even that late in the night, girl. What is happening?
Yeah, if we're talking provocateur, there is a pregnant woman getting kicked in the stomach. There is someone catching on fire, and there is
a baby getting electrocuted.
And there is a child getting electrocuted.
The incest was like driven in a bit too much. You know the little baby Tito.
My favourite French word, Tito.
When the lights go off and
that's him getting fried.
Everyone high is like, oh, Tito's been fried.
I didn't even get
that. And the mum is like, no, Tito.
I knew that Tito, like, was in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Hers is the scariest version of that, like, tripping out and seeing this terror shadow self of being like, she has expressed when she's put the kid to bed and she's having her conversations that it's that thing of, like, I'm a bad mother because I kind of just want to do what I want to do. I want to be a choreographer. Yeah. I didn't want to have a kid.
Yeah.
And then you're tripping out. And
this baby's
you
crying
have
for the
actualized
whole
day. Your child's death as you are all tripping out
screams.
On your mind.
Oh
all
God.
You hear is the scream of your child and how you failed them. Like that. I find this probably one of the scariest films.
It's terrifying
I've
because
ever
it's
seen.
Also...
Every time I come back to it, I'm like, just that idea of the release to the... Another thing Noé says is it's a film about, like, survival of the fit. Like, only the strongest will survive.
Mm.
And just that thing of, like, the beautiful moments that when you do start following Sophia Boutella and it's about watching her kind of realise through her terror that she has to keep stepping into the experience to survive it.
Mm.
Like, if she tries... When she tries to hide away from it or when you try to, like... write it off, that's when people die. That's when people don't survive. The people that survive are the ones that just keep dancing or, like, just keep going.
Just
you know
keep
what I
dancing,
mean?
Don't stop moving.
Whereas the weak ones are the ones who have, you know, like, that dude, the skinhead dude who's pretended to be, like, really game and cool and then when everyone's tripping,
he's just pathetically
he's like,
wondering
can anyone have
like,
sex with me? And starts to just, like, fall apart like a child. It scares the shit out of me. Anyway.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily got that it was non-judgmental. It was just, like, this bizarre...
Yeah, I wonder what you both think about that.
Like, crazy situation, and it's like, oh, this could happen to anyone. Like, I sort of don't know that I that
feel like
reads
it does
for me.
Broaden it out to being, like, a metaphor for France, I guess. Like, it has this nationalistic perspective, which
Spirit
also has.
That. Yeah.
And, like, when... Selva, after they've done this sick opening routine that goes for maybe, like, 8 minutes or 10 minutes, she's like, God is with us! And everyone's like, yay! In front of a French flag. And it's like, oh, they're these blessed people. And then there are dancers who disagree with that. And I'm like, why did she say that? What does that mean? That doesn't represent me or whatever. I think it does nod at a bigger perspective.
Yeah.
And a lot of Gaspar Noé's films are sort of like shitting on, I guess, like Francophilia or French people being too proud of themselves.
Being super proud of this French way that's like very racist and
totally
ableist in a lot of ways.
Or implies some sort of like accepting nature, like that like the second you open that door a little bit, like the flood door would just reveal
really
that everyone's
proud. They're like, we're gonna show those Yanks, like,
yeah, it's a big thing, we're gonna show those like Americans that we can win in the dance competition.
La competition. What did you guys make of the crazy credit sequences that halfway through the movie, just as
it's like right credits, halfway in the film.
Yeah, it's like the credits show up at the last point where the characters are like human.
Yeah, it's
like,
so
and
weird.
This is the cast, and now they are gone. They are demonic now.
Yeah, I didn't get it, but I don't know. I don't think I had any really strong views about it. I guess I was just kind of like, why is it here? But it, actually, now that I think about it, it was a good way to like. Like, it would probably be like, you know, how you have title cards saying, you know, act one, act two. It was sort of like that, I suppose.
Yeah, really putting the movie in half, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a bit
before, after, sort of, so you can really see when it descends into chaos.
And it was cool crediting the musicians.
I thought that was really cool. You just get around and, like, Daft Punk making halfway through the credits.
I generally respect the idea of just, like, breaking apart a form and being like,
it's interesting.
How do we, why do we usually do it this way? Again, it's weird that the thing that makes this film tricky and much more exciting to me is that it's like a celebration of the community and then also about community collapsing
once
you give it any space to exist.
They all come back to the floor. They all reunite there. Some of them are having sex. Some of them are being killed.
At which point the camera is upside down and it literally looks like they are demons. So all the guys that do that thing where
it's like popping
your bones, they literally look like demons on like hanging. They look like bats.
It's scary. Like, I guess dance, I suppose, that the most horrific things that happen in the movie, aside from, like, you know, like, plot things, like, plotty, like, there's incest between a brother and a sister.
The most graphic-looking moments.
The most graphic moments are just purely people moving.
Yeah, like
with
their own
bodies.
Yeah, that's so true.
Totally safe.
And
that's
to
so
the
true.
Point where it's almost like, you're like, this is, like, CGI or something. It feels supernatural. You're like, it can't just be that the punch was, like, spiked, the sangria was spiked. Like, it has to be more than that because this is so fucking scary. Like, it's so grotesque how they're moving and, like, it's, like...
I mean, same as in Suspiria, Olga, who's whacking herself against the walls and getting all broken up.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a contortionist.
Yeah, and she's, like, rolling around.
They just can do some prosthetic work, too, and... Yeah, people are amazing.
I mean, I guess they do have, like, the added bit of, like, the stretching through the face and everything with that prosthesis, but, like, it's her body and it's, and it means it's, like, more scary because it's, like, I mean, not too much for Suspiria, but I guess for Climax, like, it's not difficult. I mean, it's probably a little bit difficult, but, like, this could happen to real people and there's supernatural nothing happening here.
Yeah, that's very true that there is an element of this story that is much more about, like... What would my, like, body reveal to me if I was in that scenario? Like, this idea that you can really easily insert yourself into it. And that's the terror people have around it. You know, this idea of, like, I think I know myself. And then
and there's even these, like, really early moments that aren't that scary. Like, there's one woman who, like, is standing in the middle of the floor dancing and then she just urinates.
That's sort of like the first
that's the first, like, what the fuck is going on here? And everyone's, like, acting a little odd. But, like, little examples like that of, like, people's just bodies going so weird on them.
It's so full of the signifiers where you're like, okay, Gaspar Noé, I get it. What does he have? There's, like, a mirror, and I'm like, later on, someone is going to look at themselves in that mirror and start screaming. And later on, she sees herself in the mirror, and she's like, And then there's this great bit where you're really... just with her and
Sophia
it goes
Boudella.
yeah and it goes possession mode again and you just watch her like freaking out
she
gets stuck in her tights.
That's so funny
and she sees the picture of the forest as well and that thing where you see her for a moment just be like oh good to see you like oh thank god I'm in the forest now and it's just like the wallpaper is a forest but the improvisational nature of this movie really can't be understated.
Really
that,
works.
It's incredible that it goes through every single, like, it's not just the dancing, it's also just the spirit with which all these dancers...
the whole structure of the story, all the plot that happens, apparently.
And that they knew themselves and the beats that they wanted to play so well that they knew they could live in it so well. A trickier film to think about, like, how it leaves me feeling in a way that isn't necessarily good or bad. But let's chat about them.
There is a crazy connection between both movies. I wonder if either of you guys noted.
All right. I'm keen to hear about it.
Just go into it?
Go for it.
Okay. At the start of Climax, this is apparently the last bit filmed for Climax. They have video interviews with each of the dancers before they, you know, while they're auditioning or while they're getting accepted into... Yeah, it's like their
little entrance.
Chorus line.
Yeah,
the
little something.
Yeah. It's quite sweet.
We're watching this on a TV and there's a stack of DVD titles and books stacked up next to the TV we're watching. One of them, Suspiria.
It is.
Suspiria is in Climax.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so weird. I had no idea. Did you know that, Noah?
I clocked them. Yeah, I also saw. I saw Possession. It. What do you mean? It's like right there. It's huge.
I had no idea. That's cool.
But I didn't connect that we were also talking about Suspiria when I saw it. I just remember being like, "Oh,
I have literally no idea." That's
the
so
filmmaking
cool.
language of it much more closely mirrors the aesthetic of Argento films. Climax, like Climax's colors and this idea of
super red,
making something not fast and dirty. Like he has
and
a
the
filmmaking...
elemental like whooshing around.
Yeah, that's like, what I mean. Not like, panning, but like following. Like
I'm not trying to imply that it's indie as in like they had to use those things because they couldn't have done anything else. Like he has I'm sure a bit of funding at least because he has quite a name, but there's something around like using this super expressive colors that allow the camera to be this like, you know, 45 minute long tracking shot or something because like all the spaces are lit just with like intensity from some angle from somewhere, so it's a stunning looking film. This is such an interesting one because they both are going for very different things.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
They leave
me
feeling different ways.
They leave you feeling really different. They come at like a similar idea, but like, I mean, not that similar now that I think about it. Like one is much more supernatural and of another world and then the other... Although it does have really humanistic elements, the context it's in, the sort of hierarchy like we were talking about, and the political nature of Suspiria. I guess sort of like the hierarchy of Climax, like, and the, you know, popularity.
Which person is the strongest?
Who can, you know, survival of the fittest, almost like a Lord of the Flies style thing. So, I don't know, that kind of works too. Like, they are similar in that way, but... the viewing and watching experience is completely different for each of them. Which means it's really hard to compare them. Like,
was there one of them that you preferred dance in it? Like the choreography, the dance was shot?
In terms of like a dance film, I preferred Suspiria.
Ah.
I guess I didn't think that there was like there was a lot of dancing in Climax, but like in terms of choreography, there was just like the one choreographed sequence. And then the rest of it was sort of
showcasing
like showcasing
actions.
People dancing, and it was like verging on them being possessed. And I think because a lot of the dancing that you do see, like the individual showcase moments of like them before they really lose their fucking minds, like they had like the choreographed sequence at the start, and then they cut out to these conversations that they're having in smaller groups, and they're quite base and vulgar and a little bit like upsetting, and then they go back to dancing and the dancing descends a little bit more, and it's probably a little bit less like, I mean, it's still very cool and interesting dancing, but it's like less exciting to me and less like visually pleasing than say like Suspiria. So as like a dance movie, I would much prefer to watch
Suspiria. Prefer Climax as a dance movie.
Really?
I feel like it sits back and lets you just watch the action more, whereas Suspiria, because of its like witchy pacing and Guadagnino's like directing and editing and stuff, I feel like it cuts away from the dance at bits where I'm like, oh no, I just wanted to see the big group.
Yeah,
I feel like for choreography and like the design of dance sequences, I probably preferred Suspiria, but the actual idea inside of dance, I think I think Suspiria uses dance and like what it is a medium, like absolutely it does, like perfectly
magic
for its film. But I think Climax is built around it. I think Climax, by construction, the idea that rings through the most true is what I also think the most about. Like, I think as a film about dancing, Climax is more effective to me off the back of that idea of a medium that is about giving over to your body and being, like, animalistic.
Yeah,
and you take that to this, like, broad extreme place.
Mm.
That is, like,
and, like, pushing super effective. Bodies. Yeah.
Yeah, this idea that, like, you're essentially, you become, like, a caveman, like, an animal.
Mm.
They're like a pack of hyenas by the end of the movie. Like, your body is just this thing that wants and, like, has its own will and does its own thing.
Mm.
But then the nature of dance in Suspiria is, to me, more about the, like, because it's a more classical school and a school with structure, it's more about, like, the conventions that we make art with and how, like, everything that we've spoken about that the film has to say about the social, like, political context of the time, like, how that's reflected inside the, like, hierarchy of a prestigious academy of dance, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's definitely more complex. Like, both movies sort of have a motherhood element to them.
Yeah.
Like, Climax, a lot of the terror is like, oh my god, this pregnant woman's getting kicked in the stomach.
Yeah, and also, like, and the Tito. Mother and Tito.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
But in Suspiria, it's like the whole thing, like this inheritance. The mother. And,
yeah, or the three mothers or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is probably, like, a bit of a silly point to make, but I think also in terms of the thing. Dance... No such thing as a silly point to make. But, in terms of, like, the sequences, I don't know that I think, like, the voguing, that which is, like, predominantly the style that they're dancing in the sequence in Climax, like, I much prefer watching that as, like, a soloist doing it, because I think it's specific to, like, the individual performer.
And you don't so like agree. When they're just really strutting? Strut.
Well, the strut well, is so the best much part of it is them strutting. Opening.
Yeah, and it's, like, so simple, it's very effective.
But or when
like,
they're in a big pile, just like,
I don't know, like, not as much. Like, and I think...
I agree, Meg. Yeah.
Like, I would prefer to watch someone voguing by themselves than a whole group of people doing it, because there's a lot to see.
What is impressive about their styles of dance is all the moments where they are improvising. Doing their thing. So, to me, the opening sequence is, like, great, but it's not, like, a feat of choreography.
No, yeah, exactly. It's I feel the exact same way.
The nature about these, like, independent people and this, whenever they get to, like, do their own thing, again, it's like what dance is. Like, someone, you'll hear someone speak and be like, you're a bit of a dick, and then you watch them dance and you're like, they can dance real good though. Like, it's like you are won over by you witness someone dance and be like, here's what I've got to bring. And as they do it, you're like, I get you now. I understand you as a person. Like, it's like a signature when they do it, you know?
So I would say, like, if we're talking about dance in terms of these films both being sort of dance movies, I probably prefer Suspiria in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we're, because this is midnight screening and you guys do love your spooky movies, we're talking about them in terms of, like, thrill factor or horror factor.
You don't have to take that into account.
But no, like, I really do, honestly, I found watching Climax, when I first watched it, when I watched it recently, I found it a lot scarier than I found Suspiria. There are moments in Suspiria to me that are a little bit goofy and it's not, like, laugh out loud. It makes it more tense and it makes it exciting, but, like, it's not as, like, tense and scary to me as Climax. Climax is
you want like a
terrifying.
Shower afterwards.
Really yeah, gross. You watch and you're like, this is foul. Like, it's quite vile in some moments. So,
but if this was just our old podcast, Twin Peaks,
yeah, if it was our old,
would
podcast.
You pick Suspiria?
I still haven't picked Climax right now. I have no idea what I'm going to say.
Wait, this is fun. So you're picking Climax?
I think. Well, what is our mission statement here? Because, like, if
you set the terms,
yeah, I'm going to set the terms that. In the spirit of midnight screening, it's on spookiness.
You say Climax?
And if it's on spookiness, I say Climax. If it's on strict convention, which movie I prefer to watch and which one I'll watch more often than the other, it would probably be Suspiria.
Mm. Mm. Well, I am picking Suspiria.
Oh. But you love your witches. You're a witchy bitch.
Yeah.
You love them.
Yeah, there's just, like, I've actually, the last time I saw this movie is when we all saw it.
Me too.
So it was such a delight to... I went in thinking, like, I think I loved this movie, and rewatching it was like, oh yeah, like, this rocks. Like, there's so much about it to love, I felt.
I so agree.
What do you think?
We literally both said to each other, we know we're going to pick Climax. And I'm going to say Suspiria as well. Which is genuinely
Once
weird
again,
to me.
I'm being ganged up on. This is what happened every
We should have mentioned...
Every Twin Peaks episode, and that is why I absconded.
We should have mentioned that whoever doesn't pick the winning film will get butterfly affected again.
Oh, not again!
No, I just think Suspiria... Like, I adore them both. I think you know, to a degree, Ask Me on a Different Day, it would be different. Mm. I think absolutely Climax is a scarier film to me. I think the thing that really caught me off guard this time was I still don't know how I feel about it, honestly, is this idea of it being like a celebration of community, but like also...
It's kind of the opposite kind as well. Like, it's kind of like...
talking about how we're destined to break each other, yeah. Or like in our spirit is to break each other.
I think Suspiria is that as well, and kind of did it with a little bit in a more complicated way.
Yeah,
it's like within the Dance Academy, the two mothers and people have to vote for them. It's about how do you lead this group of women? How do you wield power?
I think the nature of how Suspiria laces in this like political context is like really emotional. Like, it makes me really moved watching that film.
At some point, Climax a little bit samey as well, I have to say.
Oh, really?
Did you feel this?
It's the provocateur nature of some of the things in Climax where I'm like, like the edge. We make horror films. Like, we have to be careful. Like, I'm always conscious of that idea of like, okay, we've thought of this fucked up thing to do. Does that exist
we're gonna do it again now.
To be fucked up? Or like, is it justified? Like, to some degree, film should be entertaining and shocking, but when are you just doing it for the sake of doing it? Whereas I think Suspiria is very much like really moving when it's existing about a culture that doesn't know how to talk about itself yet, like a world that hasn't repaired itself and hasn't even begun the process of doing that. And at the same time, what we talked about the other week with challenges being like, Luca just is able to make a film where like, there's just so much maturity in being goofy. Goofy is too simple a term for it, but like to be someone that actually makes something with the purest expression of like, what do I think this thing needs, is to sometimes be like, this beat will be so extremely indulgent. It will literally be like blood heads popping. It will be this character being maliciously cackling and goofy. Like, there's this great scene where the witches, again, like, the witches struggling to run this coven and, like, fucking up and, like, having their in-jokes. There's this incredible moment where these three witches, like, they essentially are hypnotising these two policemen to keep quiet, and Dakota Johnson spies on them, like, jokingly, like, lifting
tapping
up their
dick with
and
their
being,
giant
like,
hook.
With a giant sky thing and being, like, sigh thing and being, like, kitty, 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 kitty. Like, it's just those attention to, like, small human details where I'm, like, he will just go wherever it needs to and it's beautiful to look at.
Bravo, Luca.
I am, like, ask me tomorrow and I'll say the other thing. I will say I think Climax is one of the scariest films. Every time I watch it, I'm, like, that's actually scary. One of the scariest films to me. Like,
I guess I'm just thinking, I mean, I don't want my girl Dakota Johnson to think that I wouldn't pick her any day of the week, because I would, but I
but
do
Meg,
think...
I did invite you.
That's not true, Meg. I did invite you. No, I think I just have to go with Climax today because I'm here on your scary little podcast with you horror freaks.
I think...
And I think if you're at home listening and you're someone who wants to watch like a really fucked up movie, which you probably do want to do if you're listening to this podcast, because it's a fucked up podcast.
Fucked up.
Climax will trip you out more.
Fdupmovies.com. Yeah.
Climax will freak you out.
I do think,
but you won't
also,
ever want to watch it again. You'll watch it once and be like, oh, that was enough.
I think if all three of us had said one movie, I would have felt bad for the other movie. Because I think both of these are like top A-tier movies.
Similar like themes. Like, I think they're connected in a good way, but they're very different viewing experiences.
You really
very close Twin Peak, definitely.
You really would have
a real close one.
You would have thought that Climax would be the winner, but hey, that's the thing about the future. Hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't
it's
happened
hard
yet.
To know.
Meg, you aware that's a Madame Web quote?
No, I haven't
I'm
seen
so
it.
I'm so sorry.
I'm really sorry.
We subjected you to it. One. Clearly, the writing's quite good because Meg accepted it as reality.
I'm so moved. I just like
wow,
in
the Bible.
Saying.
Cool.
Well, because we're on a twin pick as well, we do have some triplets in the attic to check up on. We'll
remember
go let
this?
Them down.
Yeah, I completely forgot the form of this
we
podcast,
didn't tell you
so
how to
I
do
rocked
one.
Up today and Eliza was like, oh, do you have the triplet? I was like, no!
Does anyone have one or do I kick it off?
I have thought of one as we've been talking.
Kick it.
Can I go? Okay.
Go.
Hit it.
So, because we're talking about dance movies, I have
Razzle Dazzle.
Yes, you should all watch Razzle Dazzle. It is amazing. But I'm going to pick probably my favorite dance movie, which is not scary.
Center Stage.
Yes, of course, it's Center Stage. Duh, it's like the best dance movie ever.
Best movie ever.
It is scary when you see them bashing up their feet, putting on the pointe shoes and everything. That's scary. And it's scary because you're dealing with the politics of a ballet company. That's kind
of
scary.
And the politics of a bad boyfriend. You're a great dancer, but as a boyfriend?
You kind of suck. Anyway, it's such a good... Ugh. And it's got Jamiroquai dance, going dance. Off in that little final dance sequence. And I can recommend Jamiroquai.
That is a good, like, come down one from these two scary...
Yeah, it's like you can watch these movies and you can watch, like, a movie that just celebrates dance and self-expression.
Oh, if we're talking about a calming piece of dance media for after watching those two films, I've got you sorted. Or, from another perspective, the most terrifying thing possible. I would love nothing more than to drink some spiked LSD and catch
spiked
up.
Spiked LSD.
Spiked LSD. Some spiked sangria.
Spiked LSD spiked would just be like non-illicit. Like it would just be completely...
Spiked LSD, it's just...
Have it and you're sober.
It's just porridge.
Yeah, damn.
It's just porridge.
I felt nothing.
Some spiked sangria and dance with John Jacobson, the dancer of... Double Dream Feet.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Oh,
John Jacobson?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Meg, we emailed him a while ago.
So,
and he never got back to us.
We need to tell them what it is first. That doesn't mean anything to these people.
Sorry.
We have to teach them who John Jacobson is. He is this guy who works with kids and I think he runs a singing school as well. And essentially he's written these songs that sound like they're made on like GarageBand.
I think they probably
And
were.
He
or maybe
has come
Microsoft
up.
Songsmith.
Indeed. If you know, you know. And these dances, like he's made dances built around the songs, and he wears like a really bright colored pole like golf shirt, and he'll tuck it into
Harry
some pants.
High pants, chinos,
and the whole dance is just him like smiling really really wide, and every single move is done at 100% efficiency. If you want to know whether Eliza and I and possibly Meg know every dance move to it. I feel like this is one of those things that while we did, you would have...
It's muscle memory. If you watch it, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I know that there's like a tap your knees, clap, put your hands on your head,
give me some shoulders.
And give the knees.
Yeah.
Did I just do it?
That's exactly it. Side. Cha-cha. Let's do
the
cha-cha.
And the song is like, nanny, got your funny feet.
Yeah.
Funny, funny, funny feet. Like, come on, everybody, let's dance.
Wow, it actually does slap.
Yeah.
It's a banger. And he went on a game, like, Australian Idol. No, American Idol.
Yeah.
No, America's Got Talent to do it once.
And they made fun of him. They laughed at him.
Exactly.
They laughed at him.
So if you need a dance, come down, / hype up, watch Double Dream Feet. It's in the show notes. Eliza?
Yay.
I have a pretty weak triplet. I'm very sorry.
Why did you come? Why did you come here then?
Yeah, get out.
We didn't have to do this.
I'm the new co-host.
Ah, no!
I'm going back and strangling you in the room. Oh, well, we weren't in the room together.
You and Eliza.
Yeah, only you and me are twins, Meg. So I guess, Eliza, you have to kill yourself in the room.
No problem. my triplet for this week is the wiki page for Dancing Mania. Just listing out all the fascinating examples of when people, communities have gone nuts, mob psychosis, they've danced until they died.
Wow.
That is so spooky.
There should be a movie about... I mean, there's The Red Shoes in which she's compelled to...
Actually, that would
run
be a really
off
good
out of a window.
Damn,
well, one of the saddest ones in the movie...
You're plenty deep.
One of the saddest ones in Climax we didn't talk about is the woman who, like, essentially gets, like, the, like, abortion force on her when someone knees her in the stomach. She isn't tripping.
No.
She's the one who loses,
her,
loses her mind. But, like, she's fully sane, which is so scary.
Mm.
That's terrifying. Like, she's fully sane, and then, like, the nature of what's happening to her just makes
it
her
It seems like
mind.
She survives at the end. She just loses her mind.
She's the one who walks into the...
Yeah, she runs out into the snow, but there's cops right behind her, so I feel like.
But what are the examples of people getting dancing mania? Because that quite
It's really interesting. It happened a lot between the, like, 4th and 12th centuries, I feel. Maybe, probably some later examples, but, yeah, it's like one person will start and sometimes, similar to like with the Salem witch trials, sometimes they'll be like, oh, it might have all been because of some bad mushrooms that were growing in the town. Or
it's like the mercury from the hats they were wearing.
Yeah, something like that, like some material issue. Or yeah, is it just people going nuts and it's like a shared delusion, shared psychosis, and they just dance and cannot
the
stop.
Plot of Footloose previously made no sense to me, but I'm like, I guess he was protecting his town.
Yeah.
That's so funny that he did that. He
banned
dancing.
That's so crazy that they were like, there's lots of really bad stuff going on in this town. We have to stop, like,
because also, I think the kids die from, like, they were drinking.
Car crashes,
and then
yeah.
they crash the car, and he doesn't ban like, the drinking. He bans the dancing.
It's dancing. Dancing must end.
It's the gateway drug.
Dancing is a gateway drug.
Yeah.
It is. And guess what, baby? I'm hooked. Meg, these are fucking awesome
movies. Thank
you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure and a joy.
We're going to miss you so much.
Do you want to go back into the abyss, or do you want to live now? Like, we haven't really set you up to live yet.
I want to live and I want to dance. Sorry, I don't know why I said that.
Wait, okay. Just as a final thing.
Yep.
First of all, check out our Patreon. Links below. Blah, blah, blah.
No. Well, we're going to check us out on Patreon. Next week's episode. We are doing our
first ever
slot bucket. So all those people who've been voting on the slot bucket for all these weeks, finally, it is time. We are going to finally sit down and actually put ourselves through it.
Watch what you voted on.
Watch the films that you're horrible pieces of shit films that you're forcing us to watch. So follow along on Patreon for that. You can check out our other episodes on Patreon. We've done two. And other than that, follow us on Insta, Facebook, Letterboxd. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That actually really helps us out, as well as liking us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That's a huge help to us. And other than that, what are we subjecting Meg to?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you won dance move from either of these movies, what was your fave?
Oh, from the movies?
I like this.
So you're just saying
this
generally.
One, like the...
This isn't really a useful idea for a podcast,
but
I want to see you describe it as the tool.
You know, Dakota Johnson, she's always going like...
That sometimes it was a little bit.
Wait, this is an audio medium.
Yeah. That's what we said. It's so funny.
But I thought you were going to ask me what's my favourite dance move.
Do you have one?
I do, but it's not really a move. It's like a sequence, and it's my default. And what happens is I do like a wave to the left, a wave to the right, and then wave I sort of the turn right. the wave into like a hanging arm. Robot situation, you throw the arm, you hit the head, you body roll backwards, you reverse the body roll backwards, and then I go into my robot.
Wow.
She's
really good.
She's really good.
I was going to say,
it's from Camp Rock.
That's
exactly where it's from.
I do that all the time from Camp Rock.
Luke, my partner, he's like, why is that always like your default dance move? Like, if you say, like, do a little dance, I'll be like, okay, that's what I'll do. He's like, why
that?
That's
so good.
I love that it's called five steps. That's awesome.
It's quite intricate.
Caitlin is quite elaborate.
But it is taken, it's appropriate. I'm an appropriator from Camp Rock, from Caitlin.
No, you got
to
use
it. So if you're a campy, I don't know what to say, Rocky. What do the fans of Camp Rock call themselves?
I don't think any of them are alive.
If you're a camper,
you'll
know what I'm talking about. So actually, maybe that should be my trip in the attic.
That dance move.
That's a dance movie.
Absolutely. No, that's probably one of mine.
That's a rock movie.
Like that move, one of Eliza's that I also claim a lot now as well, is what the hip hop dancers in the background of Love Actually do, which is singing All I Want for Christmas. I was mostly while watching Climax thinking about this scenario happening to different groups of people. Like
what
that,
the dancing would look like.
Just how funny it would be if that happened to the boys in that. Or like the people in the like Back on 74 music video, if like their party got spiked.
Some bits in Suspiria were very
back in the zone.
I can see that too.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
We'll have you back soon, dude.
Thank you for coming, Meg.
And thank you for listening.
So glad you're
back in
this realm. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's fun to have a microphone. Maybe I'll take one home with me.
Do you want
to
express any controversial opinions before you go?
Well,
we're going to save them for next time.
Cut her mic in the middle of
things. Look,
Eliza,
like a bit
let's just react like she said something really bad. You ready?
No, I would never say anything controversial.
Oh, Meg.
What the hell?
Dude.
Guys, I didn't say anything, I swear.
That's so messed up.
You know, they fully belong here as much as anyone else.
That's so fucked up. I did not say that. I never would.
Well, we're going to take care of Meg. And, yeah, well, I guess we'll see you next time. We will have you back, Meg. It's been great
having
you.
Thank you. So you're not gonna butterfly affect me.
Welcome to
I think we'll save it for now.
Yay.
Enjoy your week. Screaming. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
I am screaming.